This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with the brilliant Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader, particularly in the valuation space at RSM. RSM's the leader in sort of mid-market private equity, a brilliant firm, brilliant person. Matt, let me get right to it. What are you seeing right now in the private equity markets? Give us a sense of what you're seeing in the business. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah. Absolute deal flow slowdown, right? It's still busy. People are still making deals. There are opportunities, but we've seen a slowdown in deal activity, slowdown in fundraising. I mean, we still see a lot of new funds closing. That's kind of more of a lagging indicator, but the actual deals closing has begun to slow. I think people are reevaluating how they're going to finance deals. What does the sort of future interest rate environment mean for deals, and people taking a little bit of a pause. It's still active, right? But, you know, we're kind of forecasting more of a return to, say, 2017, 2018 levels. Definitely not another year like we had last year.
I mean, certainly that's the case, but fascinating to see the entire sort of, there was so much built up demand last year after 2020, and so much that got filled last year. There's still a ton of money to be put to work to invest. And at the same time, I hear throughout the professional services firms, throughout everybody, that deal activity is slowed down. You have this fascinating stat that you've got the situation where inflation is still out of control. The Fed funds rate is still very low. They got to get those to an equilibrium of some sort. And that causes a shed on the economy. And yet at the same time, you've got all these geopolitical things and you've got actual contraction in the economy in the first quarter, which was unexpected. And so at some point, I take it some of these things have to shake out. And then at some point, you'll get back to more normalized deal activity. And it's still busy. It's just not anything like it was at the end of last year.
Absolutely. Yeah, the new normal. And I think or next normal maybe. And I think the question is the trillion-dollar question, right, is to what degree can monetary policy affect the inflation environment that we're in? And what does that mean, you know, as you're trying to finance deals? It's a, you know, fascinating question. And we're seeing a lot of different factors contribute to that inflation, contribute to the macroeconomic environment. And there's this one part of that, the federal funds rate that we all pay a lot of attention to, gets a lot of headlines, right? We saw the largely unexpected announcement yesterday of a 50 basis point rise. But there's more to it than just that, of course.
Yes. And there is this concept, and I want to say Greenspan, but I think Powell said it well, that raising interest rates is a very blunt instrument to fight inflation. It could certainly impact the demand side of the equation just because, I mean, if the NASDAQ's down 20% plus this year, I think $2-3 trillion of money's, you know, wiped out, of value is wiped out. And when people feel less wealthy, they're less apt to just spend because they don't feel just as rich, like they could just use money as they want to because they just have less money in their bank accounts or in their net worths. So it can do that, but there are so many challenges in the supply chain that I guess you could slow demand enough that supply equals demand in terms of goods and other things, at least some of them. But you do still have so many challenges in sort of chip manufacturing and other things that have powered some of the things that we use, like cars and computers and everything else.
No, and that's a good point, too. I mean, we're coming off the pandemic. We're still household balance sheets, at least in terms of cash, are still very strong. We continue to see strong spending, at least among higher income earners. Certainly when we look at our 401k or brokerage statements, definitely feeling a little bit of a squeeze there. But in general, it seems like at least among the higher income earners, people continue to spend. We saw that last month with the quarterly GDP report where it showed a quarterly contraction at a top level, but that was really just driven by an incredible amount of imports as Americans want to consume, want to spend, and had to procure more and more of that from overseas. And that might make this cycle a little bit different than some others. You know, one thing that we're kind of paying attention to as well in terms of what's driving inflation are commodities, energy prices. And I think there's an argument to be made that we're in sort of this commodity super cycle where, you know, for many years, there's been kind of an underinvestment in some of these extraction, production, whether it's oil, copper, natural gas, as investors focused on FANG and new economy investments. Well, now we're at a point where the demand for those commodities has increased as we're coming out of the pandemic, as people want more EVs, as people want more chips. You know, sand has become a more valuable commodity. You know, how do we get out of this super cycle? How do we kind of create the incentive for investing in that part of the old economy infrastructure amid this heightened volatility, heightened inflation? It's almost like a catch-22, but we got to break out of that cycle, I think, as part of the policy response, not just, you know, raising the Fed funds rate.
Yes, no, fascinating. You talk about this underinvestment in different resource areas, different minerals, different everything. And this is a very complicated issue in today's political world as well, which I know, you know, you don't want to talk about, but it's a very complicated issue of you underinvest in fossil fuels. It, you know, obviously long term, the hope is that that's good for the climate. Short term, it sure causes a lot of pain as the country's not yet able to even produce enough electronic vehicles, let alone fuel enough electronic vehicles to make that a change. And then that's just the least of it is in the U.S., let alone in China and other places and so forth, too. So you get this underinvestment in a whole lot of areas driven by all kinds of different politics on the right and left that is sometimes hard to completely make sense of, given the spot that we're actually in today, but a totally different subject. I know some people disagree with that strongly. Some people think they just cut off fossil fuels entirely, but it at least in terms of how we live today, that's a challenging discussion to not do it over a transitional period of time. But what a fascinating situation. I know that's the least of the minerals you're talking about.
Yeah, I kind of think of it like we're going down a river and we have 1 foot each in two different canoes. We have to somehow step completely into one canoe, right, of more kind of renewable energy and things like that. But, you know, we're in this transition period and it's going to be difficult, right? How do you make that transition? We obviously have never done it before, and it's going to be challenging, and there's going to be, you know, it's going to be some pains and pressures and learning moments as we go through this much needed transition.
No, it is really a fascinating time. It's almost as you talk to health systems that talk about being fee for service versus, you know, value based, and, you know, many of them have that foot in both boats and trying to figure out what will pay the bills and what will work and what won't work. Similar to these transitions from one set of things that fueled our economy to other kinds of things that fueled our economy, just a fascinating situation. And you do, I think, always have gotten an education in sort of the power and the limitations of the Fed in terms of what they can do. They certainly could drive up the stock market, because when the Fed funds rate goes low enough, you get back to this, there is an alternative. But whether they can actually impact inflation how they used to is a challenging issue. You know, and then you've also got the impact we've all learned about, I hope, about federal government spending and the impact that has on the inflation rates as well, as in terms of powering demand at a different level when we don't have the supply to keep up, and all kinds of constraints on supply. What a fascinating situation. Let's hope it leads back to a regular flow of business work and deal work in the private equity business. I mean, certainly the private equity professionals are very motivated to keep on investing, keep on putting money to work and hoping to make it work out right. So, and there's a huge amount of money behind them to do so. And there's investors behind them that very much want them to put that money to work. Nobody commits to a private equity fund and hopes that private equity fund doesn't put their money to work. And I know plenty of investors are sitting on serious commitments they've made, and they can't make other commitments till these private equity funds put that money to work, in a fascinating situation. So let's hope it all starts moving back in the right direction. And I think the sooner that, unfortunately, we get the spot to this equilibrium of inflation versus interest rates, is the more likely to have a sustainable, normalized economy and situation for all this. And we'll see. Matt,
yeah.
Again, Matt Wolf from RSM, one of the brightest people I ever get to visit with. Just always a pleasure. Matt, is there something you wanted to add there?
No, I was just going to say, I think, you know, one thing I've learned over my decade plus working with some of the brightest minds in private equity is that, you know, they're very, very creative people, right? And we will, you know, regardless of what the environment is, obviously we want things to stabilize and normalize a little bit, but change means opportunity. Things are certainly changing, and there will be opportunity. I think maybe just on a little bit of a pause or a slow simmer here while we all try to figure out this this current environment.
100%. Matt Wolf, I want to thank you for joining us again. Love getting a chance to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us again. Thank you for listening to the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast with Matt Wolf today from RSM. And I know we go into some tangents, but hopefully tail back to what's happening in the private equity business. And Matt, it's just a pleasure to visit with. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.